1 Corinthians 10, we'll look at verse 32. I've taken you to this verse many times. But this is one of the most important verses in the Bible when it comes to how to rightly divide the Scripture. Now, I didn't invent that word divide. That's a Bible command. Paul told Timothy that he is to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So there's proper divisions in Scripture. How many of you folks realize our society is attempting to remove all divisions? They're removing divisions, for instance, in gender. You want to remove that division. No longer is it male and female anymore. I was filling out a form, I forget what it was recently, but it said gender, male, female, or other. Well, there is no other. What is it? And so, but the issue is, they had to add that to cater to a lot of people who do not believe it ought to be as cut and dry as male and female or black and white. And that kind of thinking goes further than just the gender issue. Our world today doesn't like you to say that you're absolutely positively sure of anything. Seems to be fashionable to say, well, the matter is up for debate, and some folks may interpret the information different. That makes you sound smart. And it makes you sound like you're open-minded and forward-thinking, progressive thinking, right? It's out of fashion to say, this is so. It's out of fashion to say, this is what God's Word said about it, and there's no other alternative. That's out of fashion. Unless you're saying what they want to hear, then they use all the absolutes they can muster, you know. So this is one of those issues. When it comes to the Bible, although it's all written for us, it's not all written directly to us, and I hope I'll explain to you what I mean. You profit from all the Bible, and you and I as Christians need every book in the Bible. We need every word of every verse of every chapter. But it is true that when you read the Bible, you ought to ask yourself this question: who is speaking here in this passage, and who's he speaking to? And we're going to look at that tonight. There are some places in the Bible that is said directly to a Jew. There's some parts of the Bible that's spoken directly to a Gentile. Some parts of the Bible that's spoken directly to churches, what we are here. And if you don't know that, if you miss that, then you're going to have a hard time understanding where you fit in the Bible. So 1 Corinthians 10, look at verse 32. Make sure you have this mark either in your Bible or in your thinking. And don't ever forget it. 1 Corinthians 10:32. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, that's number one, nor to the Gentiles, that's number two, nor to the church of God, that's number three. God does things in threes, doesn't he? And so here's an example of God separating all humanity. In this verse, God doesn't separate men based on the color of their skin or the intellect or their wealth or their location. God says, I see all men, either a Jew, which is of the descendants of Abraham, or a Gentile, that's everybody that's not a Jew according to the flesh, or you have trusted Christ as your Savior, you've been born again, and now you're part of the church. Now, I don't care who you talk to, everybody you meet, or ever will meet, or ever have met, is in one of those three categories. There are no other categories. You're either a Jew by birth, or you're not a Jew. And if you've trusted Christ, the Bible says that you're neither Jew nor Gentile at that point, but you're the bride of Christ. We're all one body. You see, you lose that distinction. Paul said, in Christ, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, right? Male nor female. When you come to Christ, you join one body of believers. And so in heaven, it's not going to be, here's a section for the Jews, and here's a section for the Gentiles. When we get to heaven, we're the sons of God. 1 John chapter 3. What does it say? Beloved, now are we the sons of God. No distinction between Jew and Gentile. But the Bible is written to either Jew, Gentile, or church of God. Now this issue with the Sabbath deals with getting the three parties here who are mentioned, Jew, Gentile, church of God. The question of the Sabbath involves mixing these up. And when we go through this, I think it'll be clear to see that these folks that believe this, they're probably, for the most part, very sincere people. And some of them could take you to their verses that they use to promote what they teach. But I believe with all my heart they're taking their verses out of context, and they're trying to apply something to us that they have no business applying to us at all. And so that's the premise here. And again, you may say, well, this issue isn't going to keep you out of heaven. Well, I know that. I know you can go to heaven if you don't believe Sunday is the day you ought to come to church. If you've trusted Jesus Christ and you put faith in his blood, that's salvation. But don't you want to be right? I mean, don't you want to, as best you can, know what the will of the Lord is? Once you take that idea that there are some parts of the Bible that are just not important and you better not fuss about them, then where does that end? I mean, where does that end? You could say a lot of things are not necessary, and before you finish, you'll have to concede everything. You'll have to say nothing really is important. So I feel like my position here as the pastor is sort of do all I can to help equip you so when you hear something that's not true, you'll be able to spot it. You won't be carried away like some of these dear folks that I care deeply for seems to be have been. 1 Corinthians 10:32, I want to read just again. Notice the three groups. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Now let's pray here and ask God to give us some wisdom. Lord, we pray you'd open your word to us tonight, and I pray for the gift of teaching, and I pray you would right now, by your Holy Spirit, personally minister to every heart, open their hearts tonight to your word. Lord, I'm not asking you to open their hearts to my words, but to your word. I pray that we leave here, we'd be settled in this issue, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And I'm going to give you as quick as I can, and if I see that you've reached the point of saturation, we may finish this next week. You know what the point of saturation is, right? When the ground just can't hold any more water, it's just the only get. So a congregation's just that way. You can tell when they just can't hold it anymore. So we'll see how that happens. But here's the statement I'm going to make, and then Lord being my helper will prove it from the Bible. The first day of the week is the day that Christ has ordained that his church come together for worship. The first day of the week. Now, I didn't say Sunday. Now, that is the first day of the week. But some of these folks, they accuse us of celebrating a day that the Catholics made up, and because they worship the sun god, they named it Sunday. And so therefore, how many of you have seen, whether maybe in pictures or whatever, in a lot of Catholic churches, they raise the monstrance and it's a sunbeam, all these lights going out. And so these folks, they say, well, the Catholics, they worship the sun, and they named Sunday, and that's the day they said you ought to go to church. So what they say about us is we're following a pagan ritual, and we have no business doing it. Here's the point. No matter what they may call the first day of the week, it doesn't change the matter of that being the first day of the week biblically. I mean, if you take a loaf of bologna and you call it a filet mignon, it's still going to be a bologna. Right? You can call it whatever you want to, but it doesn't change what it is. So we use the title Sunday. We say we come to church on Sunday. But truthfully, we say it this way. We worship on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week. And that is what our calendar has called Sunday. I noticed something the other day about calendars that I think is fairly recent. It used to be, and some may still do it, that if you look at a calendar, maybe you've got a calendar on your phone, don't look at it now, start a symphony here again, but it used to be that calendars, the first day was Monday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday and Sunday were at the end. You remember seeing those calendars? And so the idea was populated, well, the weekend is Saturday and Sunday. You think about the weekend, what do you think about? Saturday and Sunday, right? TGI Friday, now I get 2 days off. Saturday and Sunday. Unlike preachers, we get 6 days a week off. That's what some people think, you know? Anyway, these UV rays have got clear down in my brain. It's affected the way I'm thinking. But I've noticed now that the calendars are finally starting to get it right. The calendar on my phone, I noticed, starts with Sunday, first day of the week, and then it goes Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, Saturday is the last day. I don't think they realized they were doing it to line up with biblical principle, but nonetheless, that's how it's supposed to be. Saturday is the last day of the week. And so what we say is, there's no better way to start your week than coming to God's house. So we come to the Lord's house on the first day of the week. Isn't it better to begin with the Lord? Isn't it better to start with the Lord? And so that's what we do as Christians. We say, first day of the week, Sunday, we come together, we ask God to equip us for whatever we're going to face that week. But that's not the Sabbath. And I'll agree with folks who say that we as Baptists, and not just Baptists, almost every other Protestant faith worships on Sunday, whether it be Methodist or Presbyterians, whatever, not just Baptists. But this group up here and the other ones like it would say that we are not observing the Sabbath, therefore we are violating the Bible. And I would concede on that point, we don't observe the Sabbath. That's because the Lord never told us to. Now, he did tell some people to observe it. And we're going to read those passages tonight. But the issue is, what did he say to those of us who have been born again and who are part of the body of Christ, the church? Everybody clear on that point? So if somebody were to get you on the street and say, you all don't observe the Sabbath, you'll say, right. We don't. No doubt about it. But the question is, are we supposed to? They would say yes. What they're doing is they're taking a command that was given to the Jew and they're trying to make it apply to the church. Remember the three divisions? Jew, Gentile, Church of God, three. All right, now I've got a lot of verses here. If you want to turn to them, you can, but I'll read them for you. I've got a few things here. First of all, number one, this is important. The Sabbath day was given to Israel. Listen as I read to you from Exodus 31. I'm going to read to you from Exodus 31. So there's nothing wrong with the teaching of the Sabbath. The Sabbath day was God's idea. And it was to be reverenced. It was to be hallowed. We're not making any judgment against the Sabbath day itself. But you must ask yourself, who did God say was to keep the Sabbath? Who was to observe the Sabbath? Exodus 31, listen to what the Lord said to Moses. And in turn, to the people of Israel. When you get to the book of Exodus, you're not dealing with any Gentiles. You're dealing with Jews. And Exodus 31, verse 15, the Bible says, 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Verse 16, wherefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. That word perpetual means everlasting. It's to continue. And so the Seventh-day Adventists say that since we're not observing the Sabbath, we have broken God's law there, because it's supposed to be a perpetual observance. It's supposed to go on and go on and go on, they say. Then verse 17 is, as far as I'm concerned, it's the nail in the coffin. Verse 17, it, that's talking about the Sabbath, is a sign between me, that's God speaking, and the children of Israel forever. Isn't that clear? God said, when the Sabbath is concerned, it's a sign between me and Israel. No mention of the church here. Of course, I realize the church hadn't been instituted yet. I know all that. But there's no mention of the Gentile here either. God never said the Amalekites were to keep the Sabbath. God never said the Canaanites were to observe the Sabbath. Only one nation in all this world that God said, you keep the Sabbath, and that was Israel. Now, is anybody here of Jewish ancestry? Maybe some of you may be. Any Jewish ancestry? You've got some. But you're a born-again Christian, aren't you? So now your standing is a born-again child of God. And any Jew that accepts Christ as Savior is now a member of the Bride of Christ. But when the Lord spoke this in Exodus 31, he's talking, and I fear I'm going to sound redundant here, but I don't see how you can miss it. The Sabbath was for the nation of Israel. And Truth Baptist Church is not the nation of Israel. We love Israel, we pray for Israel, but we're not Israel. The church is not the nation of Israel. So it was to be observed, and it was to be observed by a very peculiar people. You know what 2 Corinthians chapter 3 teaches? 2 Corinthians chapter 3 tells me and you that we're ministers of the new covenant, the New Testament. In fact, if you open your Bible, you'll have a page between Malachi and Matthew. It'll be a blank page, and it'll have a few words at the top of the blank page, and it will say, the New Testament. A testament's a covenant. When you come to the New Testament, which is what we're a part of, you're not talking about Old Testament anymore. That's profound, isn't it? You know why there's a difference between the New Testament and the Old Testament? Because they're spelled different. New is spelled different than old, right? Isn't there a difference between new and old? Are you new or are you old? Well, see, nobody accuses you of being new. I got to watch how I say that. I mean, there's a difference, folks. We're living in the New Testament time. All right, that's point number one. The Sabbath is given to Israel. Here's something else that's, I think, very important when you ask yourself about the Sabbath question. There is no commandment in the New Testament that Christians should observe the Sabbath. That's very important. In fact, the Bible seems to say just the opposite. I'm going to read to you from Colossians chapter 2. Now, Paul is the human penman of these books of the New Testament. He authored about 9 of them, 9 New Testament books, depending on what you think about Hebrews. But nonetheless, Paul here is writing to local churches. That's what we are, right? I mean, what you could say is if Truth Baptist Church had been around in this day, this, what we're going to read, could have been titled this way, The Epistle of Paul to the Members of Truth Baptist Church. Could have been that way. It's a local congregation. They didn't have a building and pews and a grand piano like we do, but they're still a local church like we are. So use your common sense here, folks. If you're going to have to take your commandment for what's going on in the church, if you had to choose between something God said in an Old Testament book to an Old Testament nation, or if you're going to take what a New Testament apostle said to a New Testament local church, who should you stick with if you are a New Testament church? You should stick with the book that was written specifically to New Testament churches. Simple enough, isn't it? All right, here's what it says. Colossians 2, verse number 16. I'll read it for you. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. Paul said, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days." Paul says to the churches, don't let any man judge you on when you're supposed to observe or if you're supposed to observe the Sabbath. And you know what these people are doing? They're judging us by saying we're wrong and that we're violating God's law. And they're basically telling us that we're doing the work of the devil when we come into this building on the first day of the week. Sounds to me like if anybody's breaking the law of the New Testament, they are. Aren't they judging us concerning a Sabbath day? Sure they are. And Paul said here to a local church, let no man judge you in these matters as far as meat and drink and holy days or holidays, that's where we get the word, or of new moon or of the Sabbath day. Verse 17, if you're looking at it, which are a what?
Shadow
of things to come. You know what all those Old Testament things were, folks? The Sabbath of the Old Testament and the sacrifice of the Old Testament, all those things, they were simply shadows that would point the way to Jesus Christ until he showed up. Then when he showed up, you know what happened to all the shadows, all the types? They're done away with. Now Christ is here. Do you know why the little lambs had to be brought day after day and killed at the tabernacle, the temple? to point the way for the Lamb of God that would come and take away the sin of the world. And when the Lamb of God came and died, remember what happened in that temple to that veil? It was torn in two from top to bottom. No more sacrifices anymore. No more lambs have to be killed because now the Lamb of God has come. So they're not only judging us according to the Sabbath, they're failing to see what the Sabbath was for. It was to point to the coming Savior. So that's Colossians 2:16. So, number one, the Sabbath was given to Israel. Number two, there's no commandment in the New Testament about Christians observing the Sabbath. And you'd think if we as a church were supposed to keep the Old Testament Sabbath, seventh day, you'd think God would mention it somewhere in the New Testament, those 27 books. I say this reverently, but he's rather careless if he didn't mention it to us in those 27 books of the New Testament, if we're supposed to still observe them. And, of course, we know that's not true. Here's something else. Here's the third thing about it. Going back to the Old Testament, forget the church for a minute. In the Old Testament, no Gentile nation was ever told to observe the Sabbath. So you really get narrow. Not only is no command to the church to observe the Sabbath, there was no command for any Gentile nation to observe the Sabbath in the Old Testament. And there were many nations back there, right? But God said only to one nation, that's Israel, this is for you to do. This is one thing that will show your peculiar people. Do you know, folks, it was a strange thing if you were a Gentile nation and you were living around the proximity of the Jews? It was a strange thing these Jews did. Every week, one day of every week, they stopped everything. And they didn't do any work. And they couldn't even let their animals do any work. That was sort of odd, wasn't it? Wouldn't that be a peculiar thing if you were those other nations? And one day, every week, they wouldn't do anything. They couldn't even go outside and pick up a bundle of sticks. You read over there in the law, if a man on the Sabbath day went out and gathered sticks, he was to be killed. Pretty severe, huh? Yeah. Pretty big deal. That's unique. That'd get your attention. That's what God said to Israel. I want you to be a peculiar people. I want you to be a holy people. I want you to be different. I can say it this way. I want you to be a little odd. God's always wanted his people to be a little odd, right? We've got that down. We do. And again, I say that in a good way. We're to be peculiar people. I mean, if we're just like them, what do we have to offer them? We've got to be different from them. And so, no other Gentile nation was ever commanded to keep the Sabbath. Here's the next thing. You'll find nowhere in the Bible anybody was even given anything about the Sabbath before Moses. Read the book of Genesis. Abraham didn't observe it. Noah didn't observe the Sabbath. Adam didn't observe the Sabbath. Enoch didn't observe the Sabbath. You won't find one man who ever observed the Sabbath before Moses. And so my point there is, if the Sabbath was something God expected all people to observe for all time, then why didn't they observe it from the beginning? But they didn't observe it till you get clear over to Exodus, when the law was given. Everybody straight on the timeline here? So if something didn't even come into existence until Exodus, the nation of Israel, then you really have no right to say that it's been God's will for all men of all times to always keep the Sabbath. Objection may be raised here. Someone may say, but didn't God observe a day of rest after he had made the world? He did. He made the world in 6 days, and he rested on the seventh. But he never told anybody else to do it until you get to Exodus. He was putting a principle in place, right? Work 6 days, take off the seventh. Now Jesus shows up. Anybody remember how many hours he suffered on Calvary? Six. 6 days of creation, 6 hours on Calvary. So what you have in the Old Testament, you have the Lord taking a Sabbath rest. In the New Testament, you have Christ in 6 hours, not creation, but redemption. And then now he came forth on what day from the tomb? Not the Sabbath day, but the next day, the first day of the week. We'll get to that. Here's something else that's important. And if you can, I'd like for you to turn here. Acts chapter 15. If the Sabbath was going to come up, it surely would have come up in Acts 15. In Acts 15, you have a meeting of the apostles. And they have a little conference. They have the first Bible conference, if you want to say it that way. And they get together, and you know what the question on the table is? The question on the table for the apostles to answer is this. Should a Gentile be compelled to keep the Old Testament law of circumcision? That's an honest question, isn't it? Because you have all these Jews who have, all their life, they've been told they have to be circumcised and they got to keep the law. And all of a sudden now these apostles come and say, now you don't have to be circumcised, you don't have to keep the law. Now you just have to believe and trust Christ by faith. That was too hard for some of these folks. You know what some of the Jews were doing? They were going alongside the Gentiles that had been saved, and they were saying, yeah, that business about serving Christ and faith is good, but you also have to keep the law. They were called legalizers. You ever heard anybody say legalism or a legalist? That's trying to attach a measure of works for salvation. So what happens? The apostles get together and they say, we got to come to a decision on this, fellas. We got to formulate something. We got to give these Gentile believers, these members of the church, we got to tell them what's expected of them. And folks, in all sincerity, if it was God's will for the church, for Truth Baptist Church, for the Methodist Church, Presbyterian Church, whatever, if it was God's will for them to observe the Sabbath, wouldn't the apostles have known that? I mean, folks, they lived and ate and drank with Jesus for over 3 years. If we were supposed to observe the Sabbath, how come not one apostle ever said it in Acts 15 when they came together for the purpose of informing these saved believers on what works they had to do when it came to trusting Christ the Savior? And of course, what works were they to do? None. Just believe. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. But here's the passage. Acts 15, look at it. Let's look down at verse 20. Acts chapter 15, verse 20. Now, verse 19 is the context. Wherefore, my sentence is, you get the idea, it's kind of like a judge, right? I'm about to pronounce sentence on what the church should do. Wherefore, my sentence is, that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God. That's everybody in this room tonight, except Annie. But we love you too. All of us Gentiles here, right? You can't go back to Abraham, as far as you know. Have you turned to God? You ever been saved? All right, then what we're about to read, probably pretty important, right? Because he just said, here's what we say to the Gentiles who've turned to God. Verse number 20. But that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood. Now the adversaries say, there it is, there's works. See, you got to work. You can't commit fornication. You can't eat things strangled. You can't worship idols. The apostles were saying you got to work to be saved. This is a testimony of works. Contrary. There's no works here to be saved. These apostles are just saying to the believers, here's what we want you to do so you won't be an offense to the Jews. That's what Paul said, right? Didn't Paul say, if eating meat makes my brother offended, I'll eat no meat while the world stands? Paul knew he could eat as many steaks as he wanted to. It wasn't going to send him to hell. But he said, I won't eat meat if I know it's something that offends my brother. Let's get practical for a minute. I could leave here and go down to whatever the liquor store is down here in West Salem. And I could go in and get a jug or a bottle, however it comes. Couldn't I? And I could put it down on the way home. But would that be an offense to you if you drove by and saw me in the car with a big Jim Beam? You think you'd do anything to my two children in the back seat? Now, I wouldn't drop off into hell at that very second, but I sure could be an offense to a lot of people. I sure could do some damage to this church, couldn't I? That's what these apostles are saying here. They're not saying you got to get saved by abstaining from blood, and I better just hit this running. you folks who like to eat your meat so rare, you need a few napkins to sop up the blood off your plate. Pray about that passage. But nonetheless, now just get back to it here. I've been thinking about steaks an awful lot here. By the time I go out in our barn and see. Anyway, I didn't say I'm going to do it. Yeah, Nadine, that's her name. I'm sorry. So look back at it now. Verse 21. This is a council of the apostles. And we're gonna finish here. We'll get to the rest next week. But verse 21. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him being read in the synagogues every what?
Sabbath.
Who's meeting on the Sabbath here in the New Testament? Not the church, the Jews. And where are they meeting? Not in the church, in the synagogue. You cannot say that Acts 15 is a pattern for the church observing the Sabbath. It just couldn't be any clearer. Those apostles said Moses, and we said Moses here, you're not talking about the man Moses. Moses has been dead for hundreds and hundreds of years by this time. But he's talking about the law of Moses. When they come together in the synagogue, what do they preach? They preach Moses' law in the synagogues, and they still observe the Sabbath day. Now, concluding this passage here, verse 22, then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and elders and brethren send greeting unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia, for as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your soul, saying, quote, you must be circumcised and keep the law. What's involved in the law? What's one thing in the law? The Sabbath. Isn't it? You know what the apostles call a man who tries to tell members of the church they better start keeping the Sabbath? Paul says here, the apostles say here, those people are troubling you. Troublemakers. And so somebody comes to you and tells you that we should be observing the Sabbath. God says they're causing you trouble. They may not know it. I mean, I'm not going to indict these people as having wicked motives. Some probably do, but I'm not going to indict them all. But whatever their motives are, it's still falsehood. Here's the point I make here as we close. No mention here about keeping the Sabbath. And this decree here, the Bible said, it pleased the apostles. In other words, they were happy with the statement they made. And the elders were pleased. If we were supposed to keep the Sabbath, surely they would have mentioned it here. Surely they would have put it in there if God meant for us to observe the Sabbath. Only people observing the Sabbath in Acts 15 are those Jews and those who would trouble the Christians by telling them they had to start observing it. Now, I hope that's enough for you at least to pray about and think about. But I'll leave you with one verse that is really indisputable. And I've never had anybody answer it, as far as anybody, I've not dealt with many of them, but they've never been able to give me an answer to this passage I'm going to read from Acts 20. Just listen to it. Are we right here at Truth Baptist Church for coming together on the first day of the week? And we call it Sunday, that's what it's called, but don't let that title Sunday throw you. Call it whatever you want to call it. But it's the first day of the week, whatever you call it. Listen to this. Acts 20, verse number 7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, you read on, Paul preached. He must have been quite a long-winded preacher, by the way, because in this same passage, a man gets so tired of listening to Paul, he falls out the window and dies. That'd hurt your feelings, wouldn't it? That's what it's right here. Read it sometime. The man named Eutychus, I guess Paul got to preaching quite a long time, and this man, it's a thing. If you're going to sit in a window in church, make sure it's not in the second floor. But anyway, He fell out and killed himself, and Paul was a gracious man. Paul went out and laid hands on him and raised him back from the dead. I tell you what, listen, he never fell asleep in church again. He never did. Don't try that, because I don't think I got the power to raise you birds back up. And if I had the power, I might not have the will to do it. But in closing, Acts 20 says that the church got together on the first day of the week and they broke bread. Sounds like what we do here, communion, doesn't it? They got together the first day of the week, they broke bread. Somebody preached to them. Sounds like what we do here. And if you read over there in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2, Paul said, on the first day of the week when you come together, bring your tithes. Yep. So it seems to me the early church met on the first day of the week. They had fellowship around the Lord's table. They preached and they took up an offering. Sounds like what we do here on the first day of the week, doesn't it? And here's what I got to remind myself, and I don't think I have to remind you, but I will just in case. It's easy to get stirred up when you hear about people you love being taken captive by false doctrine. But you have to keep your heart right towards these people. You really do. Because the Bible says about people who are wrapped up in false doctrine that they've been snared. The devil snared them like a bird in a snare. And rather than being angry, we should really feel a great sense of sorrow for these brethren and pray God open their eyes. So I'm not mad at anybody here tonight. God knows that. I don't have any malice toward anybody, but I feel like I'm bound and responsible to tell you what the truth of the Bible is. So you can have absolute assurance, folks, that when you pull into this parking lot on Sunday morning, you're just following an example that was set by the Lord, by the apostles, and by all the elders for 2,000 years. Now, you say, what about Wednesday night? You won't find a Wednesday night prayer meeting in the New Testament. Yeah, you will, but you don't want to hear it. It says there that daily in the temple and in every house they cease not to preach Jesus Christ. So technically we're supposed to be here every day. Wednesday night doesn't sound too bad now, does it? Amen. Let's pray together.